Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Town Talk, financed by Deakin Wealth Management, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Mary Washington Pediatrics, our focus this morning, and we welcome to the program for the very first time, Dr. Rhonda Winchester. Dr. Winchester, it's good to have you here this morning.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. Good morning.
Have you, you've been in this area for long?
I moved here about a year ago.
Okay. So, in your office, where's your practice is located?
We're located off Salem Church Road, 2632 Salem Church Road, right here in Fredericksburg. So we are very local.
I know exactly where you're at. If I still had young kids, you might be my kid's pediatrician. How did you decide to become a pediatrician?
It's an interesting story. When I was in middle school, my middle sister at the time, Robin, she was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. And at that time, it was obviously a big transition for our entire family.
Yeah.
In terms of her care and what that meant for her lifestyle and our lifestyle changes as a family. I decided that I wanted to, at that time, become a pediatric endocrinologist. And although there are no other doctors in my family, I actually just have a cousin that has a nurse that is a nurse practitioner. I decided that, you know what, I'm going to try to become a doctor.
Yeah, interesting. Just because of a family situation. It's always interesting to hear these kind of stories. But well, your story is such a personal one.
Very. It's those experiences of helping my sister and watching her go through those difficult times. For example, when you have type 1 diabetes, you prick your finger to check your blood sugar multiple times a day.
Yeah.
Initially, she took injections, shots, 3 to 5+ times a day, depending on what her blood sugar would range. Later on, she was able to get an insulin pump, so that meant changing the site every 3 days, which is still a needle insertion, and afterwards just a plastic tubing is left, so the needle does not stay in place. However, those kinds of things on a daily basis and those things that I would give her shots, you know, I would monitor her blood sugar with her. I was with her during her illness and condition. So she's doing well, but it taught me a lot of not only, you know, care for my sister, but just taking care of others.
Yeah.
And being there as a family unit.
Boy, and just going through that, I imagine when these kind of situations, when some of your patients are diagnosed with this, you know what they're feeling, and you, boy, you really know what the family's feeling and what they're facing.
Definitely. I am obviously trained medically, but something that I really enjoy about my job is being able to be there as a mentor for the patient and their family, being able to empathize with them and relate, share some of my experiences. And that allows them to know that I'm there for them, not only to treat the child and be there medically, but that I also understand the emotional aspect, and mental health is just as important as the physical health.
We've done type 1 diabetes shows before, and I know the thing that always the parents talk just about, like, and you mentioned it, just how it changes everything, and how you're always monitoring. I mean the technology certainly has changed of where I've had moms in here talking about this, of where they'll get notices on their phone when, you know, blood sugar starts getting out of whack.
Yes, you're referring to the continuous glucose monitor, or CGM.
Yeah.
And I have that as well. My mom, she goes a bit crazy with it with my sister, but
yeah.
But it's really, really amazing how technology has transformed the care for that specific condition, where you can see in real time the fluctuation of blood sugar so you can better manage it and get ahead of it rather than catching up with it.
Yeah. No, it's just the technology. I mean, they all talk about how great it is, but how you mean, all times a day, and even, you know, during the night, you know, during the night you'll be alerted, or during the day when they're in school. And it is great to have something like that, though.
It can save someone's life. I remember, you know, it's something that with blood sugar, you know, there's a tight range, and if the blood sugar goes too low, there's concerns. If it goes too high, there's concerns. The biggest concern is if the blood sugar goes too low, then the brain is not getting enough fuel.
Yeah.
And ultimately, the patient could pass away. Knowing that with my sister, sometimes I might wake up in the middle of the night and just check her blood sugar, and that was really just for my own comfort.
Right,
and I'm sure tons of parents do the same thing, especially in early diagnosis. But having that continuous glucose monitor alleviates some of that, because you have an alarm that would go off and trigger if it were to reach a certain low threshold.
This type 1 diabetes sometimes is something that is not always readily, or early detection of it sometimes can go on. Just because you have this in your family and you know so much about this, is this something that I would think that you probably are right on top of this with some patients, at least looking at it as possibly when people come in with symptoms?
Yes, and it is an easy finger stick just to check a blood sugar or just check a quick urinalysis. And you can immediately have a quick answer if this is something that we need to be worried about.
So in middle school, when you decided, I want to be a doctor, I guess at that point you have no idea how much schooling and what's involved in becoming a doctor.
I knew it was a long road, as many do. But once I put my mind to something, I tend to stick with it. I'm very dedicated. I can be competitive. I don't like to disappoint. I like to be supportive. But my motivation came from my sister and other struggles that I went through as a child, just socially. But when you take that perspective of, yes, this is a huge goal, and you're not quite sure how you're going to get there and what that's going to entail, as long as you know that, as long as you do your best and you have someone supporting you, for me it was my mom, then you just take it one step at a time.
Well, your sister must be proud of her big sister, that and especially knowing that she, I mean, her knowing, you know, that you know, you're doing today, you know, kind of behind and you know, because of what she went through. That's got to be pretty special, the bond between you two.
Yeah, our family is very close. We do live in different states, but we always come together for holidays and call each other throughout the week. but I do give a lot of credit also to my mom. She's been a huge rock in this journey as well.
Yeah.
Because I do strongly believe that being successful academically, it does take having a mentor, a strong figure in your life. Otherwise, it's very, very easy to get off track.
Yeah, yeah. Dr. Rhonda Winchester here this morning. Mary Washington Pediatrics is our focus. She's a pediatrician in the area, and much more to come. We'll be right back. We need to take a break on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Opinions, we've all got them, and we'd like to hear yours on Town Talk. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
It's Mary Washington Pediatrics this morning, and Dr. Rhonda Winchester is our guest to her office on Salem Church Road. We got going in talking about your family story and how you got in. We didn't even get to some other things. That really was of Dr. Winchester of hearing why people got into medicine. Just one of the great stories that I have heard on that. So where did you go to medical school at, or where are you from? Are you from around here?
I'm actually from Richburg, South Carolina. I tell a lot of people I'm from the woods.
Okay.
It's a really, really small town in Chester County. It's near Rock Hill. Essentially, it's an hour in between Columbia and Charlotte.
But, okay.
So it's a really small town. Then I went to undergrad at Columbia College in Columbia, South Carolina. And then I did my medical school training at Medical University of South Carolina in Charleston, South Carolina. And then I matched for residency at Eastern Virginia Medical School.
Okay.
At Children's Hospital of the King's Daughters in Norfolk, Virginia. So then I began my tie with Virginia.
Okay. I was wondering how you got to Virginia. Mm-hmm. And so then about a year ago, you started here.
Mm-hmm. And then also, because I thought I wanted to do pediatric endocrinology, I matched into fellowship for pediatric endocrinology at the University of North Carolina, UNC. And so I did a year of training there. But it was during that time that I realized that I didn't feel fulfilled and happy.
Yeah.
And to me, that speaks a lot to, you know, should I be doing this job? Because I want to obviously be happy with my work, but also give my patients my very best.
Yeah.
And that was a big change in my life to decide to transition from pediatric endocrinology to general pediatrics, which I love children and working with them in general. And I believe that everything happens for a reason. And in my story, in my history, where I come from, my experiences, I'm so glad that I'm in general pediatrics because I can reach so many more patients in a single day.
Yeah. Yeah. How many, I mean, every day is different, obviously, but generally, how many patients do you see in the course of a day?
It can range. Some patients, some days it may be 15 to 25. So, and then in pediatric endocrinology, you may see half that.
Yeah, what I was going to say. So, yeah, no, you seem to be in an area that I mean, just the empathy and the care, like you can just see that you would have for patients. I mean, I think you're where you should be.
Thank you.
Just because I mean, every case is different, but especially as a pediatrician. I mean, pediatricians are just so. When Dr. Ryland was in a few weeks ago, we just talked about. I mean, a pediatrician is just really part of the family. Because I know in all of our cases with our kids, but especially our first, you just feel like, you know, you hang on every word sometimes because it's all so new to you.
Yes. And that's one of the joys of pediatrics is that you're with the family from the beginning, from newborn through college. You get to know the family on a personal level, and you're treating the child and the parents sometimes.
Yeah.
And it's a team effort. It's from physician to child to guardian or parent, and making sure that not only the parents are involved with the care and the management, but also I find it important to involve the child. I want them to understand, maybe not in obviously the adult terminology,
yeah,
but the general idea of what's happening to them. What are we going to be doing? What kind of care, medication, what is it they have? And that way they understand why they're taking, you know, maybe the medication that they need to take for their ear infection.
Well, over the years, I know our pediatrician was quoted always, you know, it was like, you know, it, various times of whether something that our kids weren't doing, and a parent really relies a lot of times on, especially for early kids. After a while, when you sort of get used to things and it's just like, they'll be okay. But boy, initially, a pediatrician is just a lifeline, I think, for parents.
It is. And being a first-time parent can be overwhelming and
yes,
scary. There's a lot of questions. it's the first time doing a lot of different things. So I'm always at that first visit with the newborn. I emphasize how to reach me, how to reach the on-call provider. I emphasize, you know, please do call if you have questions. I want them to know that I and our practice, we're there for them. And so they're not alone.
Every time I remember when our first child was born, I mean, every time she would cry, you were just like, what's wrong? What do we do? What happens? And I remember it was the pediatrician of saying, you know, she's going to be okay, you know, and just, yeah. And it just, but you just sometimes you need that kind of reassurance because you don't, everything is so new.
Right. And I would much rather the parents bring the child in and just bring those concerns and ask questions so that I can sit down and talk with them and provide the reassurance if all that is. And then tell them also the signs to look for. That way they know the difference and that they truly feel reassured that what the crying is coming from isn't from something serious that they need to be worried about.
Right, right. Dr. Rhonda Winchester here this morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It is Mary Washington Pediatrics, our focus. When should someone, before your first child is born, you want to get a pediatrician selected, and at some point you need to decide on that, I guess.
Yes. I would say, you know, they really put the pressure on you when right after you've had the child.
Yeah.
And you've just been through quite a lot. Yeah. So if you have the time, I would highly encourage to take a look around in the area, especially, you know, look at the different providers in our practice and maybe even meet with us. Take the time to get to know the pediatrician so you're comfortable with that first visit. And when you have a baby, usually the newborn is seen within 1 to 2 days of discharge. And that's an extremely important first appointment to make sure that the baby is doing well, thriving, and there's no concern for infection. So having that immediate contact and having that set up beforehand, it takes some of that pressure off of parents.
So that's why I'm thinking you even talk to pediatricians and do this maybe even months before the child is born, just so you're ready.
Mm-hmm. Yep, the parents do have that opportunity.
But the other thing, in our case, we had a son who was quite sick for a while, and it was the pediatrician who caught it. We had taken him down to MCV for some tests, and they were unsure, and it was a pediatrician who called us out. I'll never forget it. It was November 30th at about 10 o'clock at night, of saying, I've been thinking about this. I've been looking at things. I want him to go see a friend of mine down in Richmond. That's where, I mean, pediatricians just become part of the family, especially in those kind of situations.
Definitely. And even though once the patient has left the office and that appointment, I know that I can speak for myself too. You know, I constantly think about, is there something more I could have done? Is there something that I could have missed? Should I be thinking about a few other different things? There's different labs, imaging, x-rays, things of that nature that I will follow up on, do further reading on. And it's not uncommon for me to call a patient later on in the evening to either talk about results or concerns or sometimes even just to check in. So even when I have patients that are admitted to the hospital, I want to check in with them while they're even admitted. I want to know, how are you doing? What's going on?
Yeah.
That's my way of understanding not only the medical aspect, but also being there for the family and being supportive.
Yeah, no, those kind of situations. Because I remember it was even on a Saturday and a Sunday, she wanted him to come in and to run tests. And finally, it was on a Sunday night. She said, you got to go to Richmond now. There's something going on. So there really is that. I mean, there's just it's hard to describe until you go through it, that bond sometimes that you really develop.
And over time, you learn more and more, obviously, about the patient and the family. And each day is new and different. Each patient, family, they're new and different. So you're taking your background of medical knowledge and applying it to each of those situations. And so it's an amazing day to have anything from well checks to that new challenge. What is this underlying diagnosis? What is this difficult thing going on?
And it was a sad day when they all turned 18, and they all had. I remember one of my daughters had said, "Do I have to go to another doctor?" And we had to say, "Yes, she can't see you anymore." And that really is, in some cases, that really is the case.
Some of my colleagues are not as comfortable as I, but I'm okay with seeing young adults through college. But I do want to emphasize that transition of care,
yeah,
so that they aren't thrown out there without a doctor. And that way they have someone helping with them with that transition. So they're not just kind of thrown out there with no one to go to if they're sick.
Yeah, yeah. Dr. Rhonda Winchester here this morning. She's with Mary Washington Pediatrics. Good stuff. We're talking about some really interesting stuff. She was at a conference recently. We'll talk about that and get into talk a little bit about autism and some other topics as we go along this morning. Town Talk, financed by Deakin Wealth Management, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Mary Washington Pediatrics and Dr. Winchester here. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It is 8:29.
Okay, listen, we got to talk about something.
Talk done right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Got a question for today's guest? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Shoup.
Dr. Rhonda Winchester here this morning. She is with Mary Washington Pediatrics. She's on Salem Church Road, and we are talking pediatrics and stuff with her this morning. You were just telling me, Dr. Winchester, about a conference you got back from in New Orleans.
Yes, I just went, not this weekend, but the weekend prior, and it's the American Academy of Pediatrics National Conference that they hold once a year. You have pediatricians from really even all over the world, not just here within the U.S., but internationally. It's a really amazing conference because you have sessions where you're able to, learn about the new updates in technology, tests, the way that medicine is evolving, new antibiotics, changes in care. There's also different exhibits where you can go and collaborate with learning about new products that are coming out, so you can see what parents are facing, what my recommendation will be for, that is this safe for the patient.
Yeah.
But it's wonderful collaboration, education, and it was an amazing experience to be able to go.
Well, and just to be able to go and then bring back here some of the information that you received, I think that's probably also a real plus in doing something like this.
Yes, some of the more up-to-date changes in medicine, for example, with asthma, there's the new QVAR Readyhaler, and traditionally most inhalers, you need a kind of cumbersome spacer to attach to the inhaler. Which, let's be honest, in daily to day life, it's if you can carry just the inhaler, that's great. But
yeah,
the spacer is kind of large as well. So the Readyhaler now allows removal of the spacer, and it's breath activated. So learning about that technology and educating my staff, that was one of the things that I was able to become comfortable with. But that's just one example.
Yeah, I didn't even know about that. See, that must be such new technology.
And one amazing thing is they're also coming out with a variety for the short-acting inhaler, your rescue inhaler, albuterol. So that will be to come a version of that, which will be amazing.
Wow. So you go to something like this, and just the knowledge that you get that you pass on, that's just priceless.
Yes, it allows me to bring to the forefront, you know, the most recent changes in healthcare to my patients, be able to be comfortable with it, explain it to them, train my staff with it, and really just not just make me comfortable, but the family comfortable with these new changes as well.
You were telling me also a few minutes ago about, it was an autism course. Was it a course that that you took?
Well, one of the exhibits they had, they were advertising an autism course for families. They went for families. They went for providers. It's just a really great resource for families and providers to go to. I entered into the drawing, and I was fortunate to win the provider course. So I'll be able to take the provider course on autism and further expand my knowledge and comfort with taking care of children with autism.
Okay, wow. How exciting is that? I mean, we talk about certain things, and that just kids on the autism spectrum. I mean, that's such an issue now, and there are, it's I guess as we understand more and more people are on there. I mean, that's to be able to offer that and just to have that kind of training is something.
And even more so to bring the resources to the parents, because a lot of times with that diagnosis, it feels it can be overwhelming, and you can't really pinpoint exactly necessarily what caused the autism, and every child is different. Some have more severe aspects of autism than others, but having that training to help me identify how to better care for the patient and really focus and hone in on different therapies and tools in the community for the parents and the child.
Yeah. No, we were talking earlier about just type 1 diabetes and how that changed your life. Autism the same way, that there are so many various levels. There's so much to know about it.
Mm-hmm. And also at the conference, they had, as one of the sessions that I went to, that we were talking about the pharmacodynamics, pharmacotherapy that has changed for autism, and also that a lot of times patients with autism have ADHD. So you might initially be focused on autism, but in reality, the patient may also have ADHD. So by being open-minded and then looking for that, being able to identify and treat the ADHD may also then help you treat the autism.
Huh, interesting. That we hear so much, and opioids are such a big problem. Is that something that you deal a lot with, or is that as patients and get older?
That is more as patients get older. I don't generally prescribe opioids, so I haven't seen that that aspect in my practice thus far. However, there are teens and young adults that are engaging in different drugs and whatnot that are addicting. And so those are the things that when I have my one-on-one time with them during their well checks that I try to talk to them about and tell them, you know, this is our one-on-one time. It is confidential and you can talk to me.
Yeah.
And the only thing that I tell them, the only thing that I'm required by law to share is if you're having thoughts of harming yourself, which I disclose to them. But that allows them to have the time to be open and honest.
Yeah.
And with that, I can fully help them and identify things that may have been potentially overlooked, like if they are having difficulty with a substance.
I never thought of that, but you do really play a big role in that, because unfortunately today there are so many teenagers and even younger that are grappling with depression. We don't often think of that, but I guess you would see some signs and probably do deal with that.
I have a lot of patients that unfortunately do have depression and anxiety. It is an ever-growing condition in today's world, and it's really sad. But when I'm able to sit down and talk with the patient about it and identify what's going on, I can then point them in the direction of, you know, counseling, psychiatry. In this particular area in our community, and throughout the United States, our care for mental health is severely lacking. We just have a lack of providers. Mm-hmm. And so I do my best to provide the care that I can from a mental health perspective, and also serve as a bridge to get them into counseling and psychiatry if need be.
Well, and thank you for what you do for on that, because like you say, that is an issue, and I know there are groups in the area that are working in schools and in high schools especially. But like you say, I mean, it's even younger, and it's, I think a lot of times some of us are really surprised when we hear some of these stories. But I never thought of the fact that having a pediatrician there, and really sometimes you might be the first in line, or you know, somebody who spots something like that, which is also, I guess, points to the importance of having regular wellness checks for your kids.
Yes, that's one thing that I do emphasize is coming in for well checks. That way I can check in, make sure that the child is doing well in different aspects of their health care, whether it be their dental health, their weight, making sure that they're having a healthy diet and physical activity to establish healthy habits now, so that going into adulthood they don't struggle with obesity. It's in establishing these behaviors and skills at a young age, so that I can help prepare them as they grow older. But it's at the same time at those well visits that some new things do come out that myself or the parents weren't aware of beforehand, and then we're able to address it and help the patient.
Yeah, yeah. We hear so much about so many kids not getting exercise and being over. Do you see that? I mean, I'm sure it sounds like that you encourage them to get out and exercise.
Definitely. I know we're entering into the colder months, so I try to brainstorm with families and kiddos how to be physically active, but also make it fun, because if you aren't having fun being physically active, you're not going to be motivated to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
And part of this too is honestly getting the parents involved. If you can truly make it a family effort, you're going to provide care to the child and the parents. And it is a lifestyle modification. It's a lifestyle change. It's one of the hardest things that people can do. So if you can help get the parents involved and even make it fun, sit down together as a family, plan the meals before you go out to the store. And the unfortunate reality is that we have to plan for healthy eating. We have to plan for working physical activity into our daily lives, because otherwise, with the chaos that may go on throughout the day, that can easily be pushed to the side, and therefore our health as well.
Dr. Rhonda Winchester here from Mary Washington Pediatrics this morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA. With the colder weather is flu season. How important is it to get, and when you get into vaccines, I know that it's sometimes it can be controversial, but the health director, the area health director, was just in a few weeks ago, and we talked about the importance of flu shots. And I guess for kids, that's important too, that you want to try to avoid the flu. And one of the ways to do that is by getting a flu shot.
Definitely. You can get a flu shot as early as 6 months of age. And it not only protects the recipient of the vaccine, but there are patients in the people in the population, obviously newborns, babies, patients that may have an immune system and that's compromised, where maybe they are receiving chemotherapy and they have cancer, so they cannot get certain vaccines. Or
yeah,
if they were to become ill, they could become severely ill. So vaccinating yourself, and as parents, vaccinating the child allows to, you know, keep those that are vaccinated healthy, but also it really helps others as well. And our clinic is very supportive of vaccines, and that way we can help keep people healthy, and those that cannot receive them because of other health conditions, we're enabling them to avoid potential illness in that regard as well.
I'm sure that you do have a lot of vaccine conversations, but you just with so many other things out there. I mean, we've seen over the years how vaccines work and how they do help people.
Yes, even getting the flu vaccine, let's say you still manage to get the flu, you traditionally you won't get as sick mm-hmm. as someone who, let's say you did not get the vaccine. So even if you got the flu, you're not going to traditionally get as sick as if you had not gotten it. So, the flu virus constantly mutates, and that's why we have a new version of the influenza vaccine come out each year. And I highly recommend that each year you get your flu vaccine. And there's always this question of the efficacy and safety of it. And even patients that have a true egg allergy, they can actually still get the flu vaccine.
Okay. Interesting. I did not know that. So what do you like most about your job? It sounds like just dealing with the kids and the families to you is highly enjoyable.
Yes. So it's so rewarding to be able to come to work and know that I'm making a difference, being able to connect with people throughout the day and provide care with their physical health, mental health, be that person that is their medical home provider. I love getting to know families, what their needs are, how I can better serve them, what resources do I have in the community. Because I believe that your health is not just your physical. There's so many environmental things that go into it as well. So when I'm working with a family, it's taking all of those things into consideration.
Dr. Rhonda Winchester here. Before we take a break, I have to ask you, you've got this, is that 33 ounces of water there? It's a big thing of water, and a lot of doctors do come in with water, and it puts me to shame because it just shows me I don't drink nearly enough water every day, and I guess that's sort of a walking illustration that we all need to be drinking water.
Yes, I'm trying to myself drink more water. I started to be more proactive with my own physical activity and health, and so I'm doing workouts every day and trying to maintain my hydration. It does make a huge difference in my energy throughout the day. It's something that if you just carry it with you, that in and of itself will help you to remember to drink it.
Yeah. No, you brought it in and it's put me to shame because I've thought I've got to say, it just reminds me that I need to drink more water. And I never did think too, I guess, I mean, as a pediatrician, as busy as you are, you do have to kind of carve out time to get exercise and do some of the things that you preach.
Exactly. So just like for the families that I see, even for myself, I find that setting a schedule and holding myself accountable to it allows me to help take care of myself in the midst of the different things that go on, throughout the day, whether, once I get off work, that doesn't necessarily mean that I'm off work. I could be on call.
Right.
But dedicating a certain amount of time, even if it's 20, 30 minutes, I started cycling, so
yeah,
that's my new thing now. But just dedicating time to myself, to my health, to my well-being. And I find that when I work out, generally the next day, I feel better. I have more energy.
Yeah.
And I feel stronger. And it's a great feeling to physically feel your muscles and body growing. And it's not just your physical muscles, but also your heart. Your heart's a muscle too. So when you're doing something like running or cycling, you're building your heart and your cardiovascular health too, which is very important, especially as you're growing and then not only as an adult, but as a child as well.
Town Talk, financed by Deakin Wealth Management, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. We're talking Mary Washington Pediatrics, Dr. Rhonda Winchester here this morning. We will wrap it up on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Miss an episode of Town Talk? No problem. Just subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Music. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Dr. Rhonda Winchester, our guest this morning. She's with Mary Washington Pediatrics. As we have talked this morning, this has been a great show, Dr. Winchester. It's been fascinating hearing some of your experience in all. And because of some of your experiences and things that you've either personally or you talked a little bit earlier about the fellowship, are there areas that you do really gravitate to?
Yes, having that additional year of specialized training in pediatric endocrinology, I would say I'm a little bit more comfortable than some of my colleagues in treating certain conditions, and I was able to see more complex care of patients, whether they were in the pediatric ICU, complex medical conditions, maybe a brain tumor that the patient had, and thereafter they weren't making a lot of hormones, and there's a lot of hormones that the body makes, so anything from growth to puberty to thyroid to cortisol and normal body metabolism, but those are some of the things that I saw that I became I have become very comfortable with managing those complex patients. Also, thyroid disorders, obesity, diabetes, and even birth control, because that was something that wasn't at the forefront of some of the training that I received. So I'm definitely more comfortable than some other pediatricians with birth control and just having that discussion and enabling teenagers to be aware of how, if they are having sex, to have informed information when it comes to making those decisions.
Yeah. As far as the future of pediatrics with Mary Washington Healthcare, you're the second pediatrician that's fairly new to the area that I've met. So obviously there's an emphasis here to expand with Mary Washington Healthcare.
Yes, we're looking to grow the practice, not only provider-wise, but also with patients. And so we just welcomed Dr. Ryland to the practice. And so now I'm not the new kid on the block anymore. but yes, we're growing practice. So we're expanding. We're looking for, we're welcoming new patients to the practice. And so we're hopeful that, you know, in the community, we can reach more people, we can reach more children and adolescents and continue to care for the community.
Well, we talked about just how a pediatrician, you know, can be your family's best friend. And it's important to get one and to have regular appointments and you know, get to know your pediatrician.
Yes. So we welcome you to come in, get to know us, just talk. Just say, yeah. Hi, this is who I am, and this is my child, and, you know, just let me get to know you individually in terms of medical conditions and even things that go on in your personal life. And over time, when I see you each time, things are going to change.
Yep.
But I'll be able to follow that transition and be able to support you.
Dr. Rhonda Winchester with Mary Washington Pediatrics. Dr. Winchester, it's great having you here. You're such an asset to Mary Washington Pediatrics. Hope to see you again sometime. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for
having
me.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own, and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.